Amen. Good morning. That went well. Yes. Well, good morning. Especially give a special welcome to our visitors that we have. We're very glad that you came to worship with us today. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. We would like to be able to help you in any way we can. Have a couple of prayer requests. Before we get started, I'd like to address Kathy Kahn has requested prayers for the family. Her uncle Herman just passed away this past Tuesday. He was on vacation on a cruise and passed away. And please pray for strength for the family as they are preparing to bring him back to Nevada for the funeral. Terrence's mom, Brenda, asked us to pray that the Lord bless everybody. I appreciate that. And to forgive those who don't obey him. I appreciate that too. And to please be with those that are sick and those that keep sinning. She would also like to ask everybody to pray for her, that for her struggle with diabetes, that it will go away and that she gets closer to God each and every day. And she thanks everybody for the church. It's a wonderful prayer request there. And then Marion, I guess the prayers just got crossed in the mail. Her brother John, she had requested prayers for her brother John Stokes, that the oncologist had told him that his pancreatic cancer had returned, and after further testing, they determined it hasn't. So I guess the test results and our prayers just kind of crossed, and they didn't get word in time. So we rejoice for John. We continue to pray for him and his health. Let's go to God in prayer on behalf of those and our individual prayers of our hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We ask that you please forgive us for the sins that we commit. We ask that you continue to be with John as he deals with health issues. We rejoice and thank you that the results of further testing revealed that his cancer had not come back. We hope that it continues to be in remission, and we rejoice in that. Dear God, we ask that you be with Kathy Kahn's family right now over the loss of her uncle. We ask that they can be comforted at such a heartbreaking event such as this. Please be with them, and we hope that they can find comfort in your word. Dear God, we also ask that you be with Brenda. We pray those prayers that she requests, that's on her mind, that you be with those that continually disobey you and sin. We ask that they will be inspired to serve you and to get back on the right track. We pray for her health, especially for her diabetes, that she can manage that better, and hopefully it can go away and she can control that better. Dear God, we also thank you for the church. We thank you for our brothers and sisters. We ask that you be with us as we continue our worship to you. We hope everything that has and will be done will be pleasing to you and acceptable in your sight. Please let everything be done in spirit and in truth. We pray everything through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, today, we might as well, Brandon, get tuned up for the invitation. Dick preached the sermon in his remarks on the Lord's table. He made some wonderful comments. I'm glad, even though they are incorrect, I'm glad the world acknowledges the death, burial, and especially the resurrection of Jesus. That is what we're going to be talking about today, the resurrected Jesus. The world celebrates Easter once a year. The origins, even though we today don't follow those origins, the origins of Easter was straying from God's word. It was to appease pagan cultures around Christians and to be, why can't we be like the Jews that have different feasts and festivals once a year? We celebrate weekly the risen Savior. Every time we come together as a body and partake of the Lord's Supper, we are acknowledging and remembering the risen Savior. I will go out on a limb and even say, if we don't believe that Jesus rose from the grave, we're wasting our time. Because there were people in the first century that disputed the risen Savior. The Sadducees, you read about them in the New Testament. They did not believe in the resurrection. Other people pawned the story off. You think you saw Jesus. It was an image. It was a spiritual, mystical event that he did not appear in the flesh. Again, I say, if Jesus did not appear in the flesh, this is for naught. We might as well sing a closing song and get to our special day's dinner. Now, the fact that Easter started out as kind of to honor pagan worship of fertility and all that stuff doesn't mean that we do that today. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to have chocolate bunnies. I was given peeps this morning, so I'm sure not going to give those peeps back. We don't remember Easter in the way that it originally was started, but we don't remember the risen Savior once a year.
Amen.
We do it each and every Lord's Day. The scripture reading that Jeff read, and I appreciate him doing that, is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And Paul was writing to the Christians in Corinth, and this was quite some time after. This was a number of years. This was 20-some years after Jesus had risen from the grave. And he's telling people, a lot of them had never didn't witness it. And he's explaining what had happened back so many years ago. And Paul starts out in verse 3, he says, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried." No dispute there. "And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures."
Amen.
"And that he was seen by Cephas," which was Peter, "then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as one born out of due time. What an event that was. That's a good sermon in and of itself, when Paul saw Jesus, lost his vision in it, but gained a lot more vision in the process.
Amen.
In Acts 1, verse 3, we see, to whom he, talking about Jesus, also presented himself alive after suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He just wasn't seen by the testimony of a couple of people. He was seen by over 500 at one time, and he was there for 40 days. The proof is infallible. In 1 Corinthians 15, a little bit later from where we were reading, in verses 12, it says, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. We would be believing in something we could not hold on to. We would be believing in a myth. We would be staking our souls on air if Christ was not risen. In Acts 17, verses 2 and 3, then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures. I love how so many of the verses we have looked at just so far this morning included from the scriptures. That's what their messages were based on, not opinion.
Amen.
Paul didn't go in, let me tell you a story. Pull up a stump and gets this homespun backwoods with. No, let me reason with you from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. And then in Acts 2, we see almost the same message. We see the same message on the day of Pentecost as Paul preached. We see the same message by Stephen. The same message that we preach today. That Christ lived, died, and was resurrected. Peter says in Acts 2, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. There's no disputing it. You yourselves saw the things I'm talking about. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it.
Amen.
Jesus conquered death. And if he conquered death, He's opening that door for us. In Acts 2:32, he goes on to say, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. I dare you to refute it. We've seen it. You know for yourselves. You know the people that you saw be healed. There are some of you in that crowd that are probably thinking, he healed me. I know he was alive because he healed me. I'd like to look at the resurrection, some of the resurrection events that are recorded in the Gospels. Not every single thing, because each record of events would take a long time. You know, we could look at the events in Matthew and that be a sermon. But I'd like to briefly look at some of the major issues in each of the Gospels. In Matthew, the Great Commission was given after Jesus had been resurrected. This is after his crucifixion, after his resurrection, where right before he ascends back into heaven, Jesus says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. One of the last things that Jesus wanted to relate to his followers was go make disciples. And they did. And it gets us to us today. And we're doing the same thing. In Mark 16, it starts off in 19, it says, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Where else does Jesus belong other than at the position of power at the right hand of God the Creator? And they went out and preached everywhere. We're seeing Mark is just kind of a continuation. Jesus told them to go, they go. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. In Luke, Jesus appeared to the disciples in the upper room. And he gives them an example, shows his body to them. And he says, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit, it was already being talked about. Already, that this Jesus who we've witnessed is just an image. It's our imagination. It's a spirit. Jesus says, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. A spirit's not going to be eating something. What do I need to do to prove to you? Touch me. Got anything to eat? Is there anything else I can do to prove to you that I am alive? And then a little bit later in Luke 45, it says, and he opened their understanding, that they might comprehend the scriptures.
Amen.
We do that every time we open the Bible. Every time we open God's word, we're helping our understanding of those scriptures. And in John, this time, Thomas is there. And starting in verse 24, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciple, here's another just little side note, the importance of coming back Sunday nights. Thomas wasn't there Sunday night when they would, look what he missed. Just saying. Sunday nights are important. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Thomas gets a lot of grief over this. We call him Doubting Thomas. I get Thomas. I'm kind of like that. I'm glad I'm on this side of time as a Christian, because I know I might be one of those skeptical ones. You think you saw somebody alive. You think emotions can get the best of us. Look at people that think they see ghosts and stuff, or they hear things that they try to explain. A lot of times there's a real explanation for stuff. Thomas is just saying, I want proof. If I have proof, I'm all in. I don't want to go by Peter's testimony. Peter gets a little worked up once in a while. I don't want to base this on what Peter said. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace to you. I know Stacy is glad she lives on this side of time. There'll be two people in the house. I would be well wearing a cowbell. I come around the corner. We're talking to each other. Coming around the corner, and I startle her. If she was there with the disciples, and all of a sudden the doors are shut and locked, and all of a sudden they look over, and there's Jesus, she'd have went right through the roof. She'd have screamed and went through the roof. There's proof right there. Stood in there in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. And this is to us. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.
Amen.
That's to us. We didn't get the opportunity to put our finger in the nail holes. We didn't get the opportunity to touch and to see Jesus those 40 days. We have not seen, but yet we have believed, because we believe the scriptures. It goes on to say in verse 30, and truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, why? That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. That's why they were written down. What is the power of the resurrection for us? Let's look at some of the scriptures. In Acts 18:8, it says, "Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." We're seeing this idea of the Great Commission in real time. The disciples went out. They made disciples. They preached all that Jesus had commanded them. And we're seeing they heard. The result was they believed. And they acted on that belief and obeyed and were baptized. What a glorious end of the story there. In Romans 6, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ," I know you should know this because you heard it earlier today. "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" When we are baptized, we're being baptized. Just like Jesus died, we are dying to our worldly selves and are being buried with Jesus in baptism. "Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into his death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we will also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection."
Amen.
And I would like to end today with a question. Have you died to sin? Or are we still trying to drag that sin with us? Are we straddling a fence, trying to have one foot as a Christian and the other foot in the world? Have we been buried in baptism? Have we been baptized? And more importantly, when we're buried in baptism, to raise a resurrected new life in Christ. If you have not done that, we have the opportunity to do so today. If you have done this and there is sin in your life and you need prayers, if you need to repent, I urge you to do so. I am glad that the world gives a thought today. Hopefully, it's more than just peeps and chocolate bunnies and deviled eggs. But more than that, we celebrate a risen Savior. Amen. Every week and every day.
Amen.
If we can be of service to you, please come forward. Let your needs be known while Brandon leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.